Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezras Hashem, BPM number 127. Ba'ez Pnimi Shir for Men, Shir number 127. We're going to talk about how your marriage and your relationship with your wife is negatively affected by pornography and by the internet overall and by lack of Shmiras Einayim. And unfortunately, there's a tremendous rise of internet porn. 30 years ago, it was harder. You had to go to that really sleazy part of town, park your car some distance away, cover yourself with a hood, and look around, and then go into one of these bookstores or massage parlors and all these things in order to, you know, get involved with these things. But these days, unfortunately, it became extremely accessible through the phone, through cable television. It comes right into the home and for free. Often, websites, there's over 137 million websites on the subject of sex in an unhealthy way. And it's terrible. The ease of the access to the internet porn is staggering. And you think, well, no one gets hurt. It's just my personal enjoyment and escape. Who is it hurting at all? It's my business. I could still have a healthy relationships and healthy things otherwise. But that's not so. We're talking besides, of course, living a healthy life as a Torah Jew. But I'm talking even in regards to secular living, even with non-Jews, same concept. It is destructive. So firstly, you know, for people who believe that it's harmless or what's the big deal, it could terribly hurt your relationship with your wife as well as your relationship with Hashem. Even casual viewing of pornography, it could be undone if you do tshuva, it could be undone if you really work on yourself, but casual viewing of pornography can change how a man thinks about women overall, how they feel about women overall. It changes how he thinks and feels about his own wife and how he treats her. It's called centerfold syndrome, basically. You have this idealized image of these women offering themselves in provocative ways, and it changes how you see your wife. All of a sudden, your wife, as a regular human being, very often a very attractive human being, and she now seems less attractive, unable to compete with those pictures. And it's wrong, absolutely wrong, to force your wife, even if it's only in your own mind, certainly if you actually actively do so, to force your wife to compete with these fantasy women. It make her feel inadequate, and that's terrible, that's wrong. Pornography also degrades women, makes them mere objects designed to fulfill men's fantasies. It removes any possibility of real intimacy with a couple. Men and women are created. Hashem made the sexual pull to each other to share the deepest part of themselves and to connect as one and to be an expression of true love. It's not meant to be just a mechanism for each other's sexual gratification. There's nothing wrong with a husband and wife that's happily married to provide for each other sexual gratification. That's fine. That's even healthy. That's even encouraged. But within a marriage and a real relationship, but when you enter the world of pornography, you're basically opting out of intimacy. You're opting out of your relationship with your wife. Your overall view on women is tremendously distorted. And the effects of children when they see or recognize or catch their fathers involved in these things, it could be very traumatizing for them. And a daughter, for example, you know, during adolescence, and she feels the sexuality, she sees her father cherishing her mother, but then she discovers that he's looking at perverse things. It could make her very cynical about men if she sees that in her father. or causes her to maybe feel dirty or uncertain about her own sexuality. When she sees her father being nichshel in these things. And you may have a problem of addiction, minor addiction or more major addiction. Of course, you have to really work on forcing filters and being very careful to avoid at all costs to visit sexual sites on the web or chat rooms or masturbate in response to this internet content. Or design your life over web surfing overall, not just for sexual content. And you lie more and more to cover that internet activity. And you need that high of these materials to get you aroused. And you clear out your history. And you do all this stuff. And the bottom line is a sexual addict or someone who lacks seriously Shmiras Einayim will not be satisfied with their intimate sexual relationship with their spouse. Of course, they'll blame their spouse. But again, a sexual addict feels controlled by that urge the same way an overeater is controlled by eating and alcohol by their drink. And this, and if you're married, if you're a married man, this preoccupation with this interferes with your marriage. You will not be satisfied with the intimate sexual relationship with your spouse, and you'll blame your spouse, and it's wrong to blame her. If you'd be free of this and focus just on her and work over the overall marriage, your intimate life will increase a thousandfold. But while you have this hanging on you, you can't. And there's an anxiety there, and you feel captured by the drive, and then you feel guilty and ashamed, and it becomes a vicious cycle. It's similar to relying on cocaine or marijuana. Now, not every wrong sexual behavior is necessarily an addiction. That's very important to know. I know from some experience with talking to people that some people believe because they have a moral conscience and they're nichshel in certain things and sexual behaviors or masturbation or things like that, and or occasionally looking where they shouldn't look, and they believe they're addicts and they're not addicts. They just have a yetzer that they fell into. So it's not healthy often to label yourself as one when it may not even be the case. Even if you're really pulled to it, for many, most people, even if they were nichshel in these things, they have the ability to pull out on their own with tefillah and with putting gedarim. Not everyone is a full-fledged addict. But what happens is the addictive pattern, though, you may have whether you're a full-fledged addict or not. There's an aloneness, there's an isolation. You avoid closeness, and then you become very self-centered. You know, I deserve it. I work hard. You start, again, blaming your wife. My sexual needs aren't being met. All of these things. Or it doesn't hurt anyone. You rationalize. So the key to healing, number one, is recognizing the truth, turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking Hashem to help you, awaken yourself to tshuva, whether you're busted yet by your wife or you're not, or by your boss or by your kids, even before that. Acknowledge it and do tshuva and make a moral inventory and admit what you're doing wrong or your struggles before Hashem. And that's the first step to change, to healthy change. And you change your life patterns. At home in the office, have the computer screen always facing the door or exposed if you can. Give all your passwords to your wife. They could check on your history or filters. And work very hard towards that Shmira. And focus on your internal life. Overall, by the way, not just for unhealthy internet use, but even if it's neutral internet use, but to have less of that and focus more inward. To heal your own emotions, to be in touch with yourself. And focus on your actual relationship. Your relationship with yourself, your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sexual misbehavior strains your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, you act out, you despair, you make promises, and then you fall again. You keep on talking to Hashem, you ask Him for Siyata D'Shemaya, and then do everything you can in your Hishtadlus to fix the problem and to help you and to be accountable. And to be accountable. And if you do that, then there is hope for healing, there's hope for growth, and there's always tshuva. Remember that. There's always tshuva, there's always hope, you always build yourself up. You can't fall into despair. You can't think of yourself as a terrible person. But at the same time, you can't just say, oh, I'm okay. You have to really recognize the problem, work through the problem as best as you could. And that's very, very important. You also need to remember that you're always connected to your roots. And again, while you're struggling and you really want to overcome it, remember the disciple I recommend that you read some of his letters. It's a svarim called Crying at the Igrissa. I think it has 3 volumes. The first 2 discusses this a lot, talks about it. He's talking to more Bachrim that struggle with masturbation and things like that. But he talks about the overall concept. He does say that, unfortunately, we do have to be aware of what's a mitzvah, what's an aveira. We need to understand there is reward and punishment. All of this is true. But he does feel, he says in these letters, for the people who are listening here, there are 2 types of people in general, generally speaking. There are some that rationalize, that need that discipline, that need to hear that more strong, strict message in order to shake them up to change. If you're of that personality and you need that, then you take the certain strictness or severity of things, a way your life could lead if you continue this path, to wake yourself up like a wake-up call and to motivate you to get better. That's what some of you listening have, that personality, and use that mode to pull out of things and to better your life with Hashem and with your own wife. But then there are others of you who, by constantly focusing on the negativity of the negative effects of these sins, or if you read too much, you know, Desire writes very strict, strong things about masturbation and other types of things like that, that even to the extent that tshuva doesn't work, which cannot be taken literally, all the mefarshim and all the tzaddikim of all the dairis made it very clear what Desire meant and why Desire said it. It is to emphasize the seriousness of it and the crucial specialness of what a true, healthy, intimate relationship is and to keep it pure. But this concept, the Stipler says it again and again and again very strongly. Tshuva always helps. Tshuva transforms. You could always change. And when tshuva means, by the way, that even though Hashem sees and knows everything, but when after 120 you go up after Me'ev Esrim Shana upstairs and you did your correction and you did your tshuva and you did your work and you worked through it and you really did everything you can, there will be no zecher of any mention of it in Yom HaDin. Even things that you know you did do, Hashem wiped it out of existence. What do you mean you didn't do it? It's tshuva, it's forgiven, end of story. We have to believe in that koyach too, by the way. Not to rationalize, echtav ha'ashev, I could do it, I'll do tshuva later. You can't use that logic. But if someone's falling into a despair and thinks that they're totally lost and no matter what they do, it's hopeless or it's not worth much, it's false. And the Stipler talks about this a lot. Every time you miskabra over Yetzahar, you may fall a few times, but when you're victorious, it's a success. You're a Yosef HaTzadik at that moment. By the way, it's a Zman Mesugel. In the times that you were able to succeed and you were able to overcome your Yetzahara, you daven to Hashem at that moment of the holding back. You were going to look at something and you turned away and didn't look. Put in the tefillah right there for whatever you need in Parnasa, in Shalom Bayis. Hashem listens to those tefillahs exceptionally because there at the time of holding back Yetzirah L'chvayt Hashem, Hashem has a tremendous nachas ruach. And you could daven then and it's a shasa kosher to daven. So for those of you that the despair falls you into a more higher, bigger pitfall, you have to strengthen yourself and see the tzad ha-toiv of things and what Hashem, how you're beloved to Hashem as you work through this struggle and do everything you can to overcome this struggle. And the bounce back attitude also, that you constantly bounce back. And then what you do is as you're working on yourself, getting rid of these negative behaviors, you turn towards your wife emotionally and spiritually too. In the Nida period, in the times when you're not, the physical aspects are not there, to treat her with a special regard, with a special respect, with a special ahava. And then what you do is, when it comes to physical intimate aspects of things, you are very attentive to her needs, and your heart will open up and things will get a lot better. You keep davening for it, you keep on the right track, and Hashem will give you siyata d'shmaya. And parnasa comes from it, everything comes from it, from leading a healthy life with your wife. Bracha comes from her and from your behaviors towards her in a positive way. Bracha v'atzlacha, and remember not to be miyayish, but to work very, very hard to overcome this nisayan. That's a nisayan very much a lot in our dar, and it gives Hashem tremendous nachas ruach when we overcome this. And we do everything we can to do our best with this. And this will enhance our shalom bayis, bring healing to our hearts, bring healing between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and bring healing between us and our wives. Bracha v'atzlacha.